Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 17. That's going to be on page 1010 in the Pew Bibles. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you.
Thank you, Ben. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. It's good to be together. I just briefly want to highlight a couple of quick things. Today is the beginning of a new quarter, our summer quarter of Bible classes. Hopefully you were part of those this morning, but if not, you can read about those in the newsletter. And I especially want to highlight that this coming Wednesday, we're starting a new effort. We're going to have a second Bible class for the summer. We're calling it Discipling Our Children. It's especially with parents in mind, but it's open to everybody. We live in a world where raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord comes with a lot of challenges and sometimes with some frustrations and a lot of questions. And so we're going to use that class as an opportunity to help those of us, especially in that place in life, but maybe others who are thinking about those things as well. The regular adult auditorium class will take place in here. For this Wednesday, as long as the weather permits, after we have a brief introduction and song and prayer here on Wednesday night, we'll meet this Wednesday in the pavilion. Hopefully the weather cooperates with that, but we hope you can be a part of that and maybe invite your friends and others who might be interested in that class as well. I also just want to mention that tonight kicks off our summer Sunday nights. We've done this now, I think this is our third summer, in which with our worship at 5 o'clock, what we do is we eat at 6 o'clock, and tonight's a potluck meal, so we hope everybody can be a part of that. And then after that, after we eat as well, just a time to fellowship and enjoy each other, enjoy the good weather, kids can play outside. Things like that. But we hope you can be a part of that. And I also want to mention for our summer Sunday nights in our lesson during worship, we're going to focus on our theme of discipleship this year, where Jesus says, come follow me. But this series is going to be a little bit different because we're going to talk about how the experiences of life disciple us. And a lot of times they're difficult and challenging, sometimes painful experiences of life that help us grow as disciples and maybe test and help us to appreciate our discipleship. And I'm going to be the speaker tonight, but we're going to have different speakers throughout the summer. And I'll go ahead and tell you tonight I'm going to speak about my parents' divorce and the things that that taught me, especially during that time of my life, and in some ways still teaches me today, but has really helped me, as difficult as that experience is, has helped me in thinking about being a disciple of Jesus's. So we hope that you can be a part of that as we begin all these efforts this week. But this morning we're wrapping up a series that we have done covering the work of our shepherds, our elders, our pastors, our bishops, all of the titles that Scripture applies to those who've been put in the position of overseeing the Lord's church. We've looked at the work of leadership by example and what that looks like, and we've looked at the work of oversight. But today is going to be different because in a lot of ways I want to turn a lot of the work of shepherding and our appreciation for it back on us in ways in which we can support our shepherds. If I was to give an analogy of what this series has been all about, it reminds me of several years ago, when I think it was CBS, had a TV show called Undercover Boss. And it was a series in which a company's CEO or the owner of a certain kind of company or organization, that person would be put in disguise and would go in and do the work of day laborers or the work of maybe middle management. They'd be put in this one-hour show, they'd be put in different positions within the company so that they could be reminded of and they could appreciate what was going on maybe at ground level. And it was sometimes humorous because they really had forgotten or didn't know how to do some of the jobs of those who might have been the lowest rung on the corporate ladder. Sometimes it was a bit tragic because those that didn't know they were working alongside the CEO or the person who owned the company, they conducted themselves in such a way that they were deserving of losing their jobs. And so sometimes it didn't go so well. But it was a neat show, neat concept, and usually had some touching moments as well. Well, I say all that to say this series, I would sort of consider this undercover shepherd, but in reverse. What I've wanted us to do as a congregation is to put ourselves in the position of our shepherds to help us see and appreciate the work that they've been called to do, the things that we don't see, the things that we don't always know about, and the charge that the Lord has given to them that maybe sometimes we even overlook in Scripture. As I said last week, sometimes we pray for good things for our shepherds, like decisions they make. But as you read Scripture, their ultimate charge and work is to oversee and to lead and guide souls. We are those souls. And as those souls, we can help them in their work. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. And we're going to start where we just left off in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. The first thing that we see in Scripture that we can do to support and encourage our shepherds is to submit to them. Now that word submit, that in some ways in popular culture is a bit of a dirty word. People don't like to hear that idea, the idea that there are others in positions that we are submit to them. But all throughout Scripture, there's all kinds of different relationships in which we all of us, even our shepherds, we are all called to submit to someone or something in different places and avenues of life. And going back to that verse that Ben read for us, it's going to be on the screen right here, but if you want to, you can turn to page 1010 in your Bibles. Again, the writer of Hebrews says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." I want to stop right there. We've talked about oversight, and we've talked about leadership, and we've talked about different titles that are assigned to elders throughout Scripture. But one of the chief responsibilities that they've been given, one of the chief roles that they occupy, is that of a steward. The church does not belong to the elders, and our elders know that, and good shepherds of the Lord's church all throughout the world know that the church does not belong to them. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we looked at that passage last week. Paul says there that it's God's church, but they've been put in the position of overseer. They're in the position of steward. And I don't know about you, but I'll speak from my experience. Whenever I have been put in charge of something that's not my own, something that belongs to somebody else, and that person or that group of people say, "Blaine, we want you to take responsibility for this thing. It doesn't belong to you, but you are to oversee it. You are to be a steward of it." I really take that even more seriously than my own stuff because it belongs to somebody else. And we as souls, we don't belong to our shepherds. We belong to our Creator. We as the church, we don't belong to our shepherds, but we belong to God the Father, Son, and Spirit. Our shepherds here know that well. And we've got to sometimes put ourselves in the position of when we're called to submit, good shepherds aren't trying to boss us around. I use the analogy to undercover boss. But shepherds aren't bosses. They're stewards. They're shepherds. They're overseers. And when they call upon us, when good shepherds of the Lord's church the world over call upon their flock to do something, it's not because they're trying to lord things over people. It's because they realize, as this verse continues, as those who will have to give an account, they realize they've got to answer to somebody a lot bigger than any of us, and a lot bigger than all of us put together. They answer to their Heavenly Father and their Lord and Savior. They give an account for their shepherding and their stewarding of us, the church. And so sometimes, and there's wise ways to go about this, sometimes good shepherds, good overseers, you know what they do? They try to help us stay on the right path or get back on track. And a good shepherd, one who really realizes the stewardship that he has been given, will address things in our lives when they recognize that those things pose danger and threat to our eternal souls. Sadly, there are people who, as soon as not just an elder or shepherd, but maybe even sometimes a good Christian brother or sister, shows concern and goes about wisely. Again, you don't embarrass people, but you wisely and lovingly approach somebody and say, you know what? I see where you are in life, and I'm concerned about you. And I see you going in this direction, but here's the direction that I know the Lord wants us to go in. We should never take offense to anybody. Anybody who has that kind of loving concern for our eternal souls. And especially when it's our shepherds who give an account for our souls, we should heed wisely their wisdom. And humbly. The next verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, Peter writes something similar there. We looked at verses 1 through 4 a couple of weeks ago in this series, but as that thought concludes, Peter, writing to all the church, says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It takes humility to hear somebody else say, you know what? I'm concerned about the direction of your life. But in that humility, we are to submit especially to our elders. Let me add this, and our elders know this, but in case you're wondering or in case you're visiting with us, as they shepherd the church and our souls, it doesn't mean they get to micromanage people's lives. It doesn't mean they have authority over every decision that you make within the freedom of your life. But they are in charge of overseeing the church and shepherding our souls. Now at the end of it all, we're all going to have to give an account. On the day of judgment, I don't think I'm going to be able to stand in front of the Lord and the Lord say, Blaine, you know what? At one time you were going in the right direction, but you know, you just turned away from me. I can't look to the Lord and say, you know what, Lord? You're right, but that's John Dean's fault. He and the other shepherds of this church, they should have got me back on track. No, I'm going to have to answer for me. And you're going to have to answer for you. But shepherds are going to have to answer for their shepherding. And because of that, we should humbly submit to their desire. And they're looking out for the best interest of our souls. The next thing that Scripture says we should do is we should honor them. We should honor them. I briefly referenced this passage a couple of weeks ago as well, but if you want to, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, but it's going to be on the screen next. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Paul, in writing to Timothy about the affairs of the church as he works with the church in Ephesus, he writes there, to let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I believe what Paul is saying here is that, you know, for those shepherds, for those elders who are especially giving themselves in multiple ways to the work of the church, there are ways of showing honor. And in the context of this passage, I believe that includes financial compensation as a possibility. Our shepherds here do not receive that. And in that way, we should honor them even more because they don't take advantage of that possibility. But I do believe that's what Paul is speaking to here. But there are other ways that we can honor our shepherds. One of them is simply how we view them, how we speak about them. And in some ways, the final thought of this verse in verse 19 speaks to that. Paul says, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. I'm of the view that, as Paul writes 1 Timothy, the church at Ephesus was beginning to have some issues where people were having problems maybe with existing elders. And maybe there was some whispering going on, certain things being said maybe behind people's backs. And Paul says, here's how you deal with this. You don't deal with this through whispering and talking behind people's backs, through rumors and things like that. The way you deal with it is if it's a serious enough thing that needs to be addressed, make sure you've got multiple people who can speak to this. Don't just start some sort of whisper campaign. And I think we can apply that principle to the way that we view shepherds, the way we view elders in general. Do we speak of leadership in positive terms. Even when we might disagree, yes, sometimes they do have to make decisions. And if you've ever been in a position of leadership of any kind of group or organization in life, you know what? Not everybody agrees with every decision you make 100% of the time. And one thing that I have found when I've been a part of groups where sometimes I've made decisions, sometimes I look back and my later self disagreed with my younger self. I look back and say, you know what? Looking back, I could have done some things differently. That's just part of leadership. Sometimes that happens. And if you expect anybody, whether it's in government or at work or in school or in the home or in the church, if you expect anybody to bat 1,000 with all the decisions and ways in which they lead all the time, you're going to be disappointed 100% of the time. Because none of us get it right all the time. But we can speak well of our leaders, especially within the church, because of the kind of men they are, the kinds of works that God has called them to do as shepherds. And as I've said in this series, the way we speak about, the way that we honor leaders will largely determine the kind of future leaders we will get. Because the way we speak to and the way we view leadership right now influences those who could be potential leaders down the road. And that's why a lot of people today say, this is the way leading is, this is the way people are going to be, this is the way they're going to treat me, I don't have anything to do with that. And a lot of good people no longer lead or don't step up to lead because of the way people view and treat them. But we can honor our leaders through our words, through our attitudes, through kindness and acts of generosity. Another way that we can honor them is through this next point. We can pray for them. Now, I recognize that when we come together as a church on a regular basis, many, many times we pray for our elders. And I think that's great. And I encourage those who lead public prayers to continue to do that. But I especially want to talk about your private prayers. And I don't know what you pray for privately. You don't know what I pray for privately. And that's a very personal thing. But I want to encourage us as the church to pray for our shepherds and our elders in our private prayers as well. Not just the ones when we come together. Philippians chapter 1, when Paul writes that letter, this verse will be on the screen as well. Philippians 1 verses 1 through 4. This is one time where Paul, in writing to the church, references both shepherds, and by the way, deacons, Paul references you all as well. He writes, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. He says, then grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Now, as Paul writes that, he's speaking to all the church. And he says, I pray for all of the church at Philippi. But in the context of this passage, do you think as Paul prayed for the church at Philippi, don't you think it's pretty safe to say he was praying for those overseers and those deacons as well? I feel pretty confident about that. The next verse, Acts chapter 20, we looked at the preceding part of this passage last week where Paul talks about overseeing the church. After speaking for the last time, this would be the last time Paul would ever see the elders from the church at Ephesus. He commends them, he challenges them to their work, but then after that, what does he do? When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. He prayed with those elders. We're not told what he prayed for there. But again, I feel pretty confident to say they prayed for Paul and everything that he was about to face and experience. I think they also prayed for the church back in Ephesus, because the elders are actually not in Ephesus as they're meeting with Paul here. I'm also pretty confident that Paul prayed for these shepherds, these overseers, and their work before sending them back to Ephesus and before he goes on to Jerusalem, knowing this would be the last time he would ever see them. They cry, they hug, they part. But that church in Ephesus, as you read Scripture, it always held a special place in Paul's heart. And those shepherds held a special place in Paul's heart as well. And so, church, we need to pray for our shepherds. Yeah, sometimes they have tough decisions to make, but just pray for them. Pray for their lives. Pray for their families. Pray for their leading. Pray for their oversight. And pray for us as well. And also, the next point, we don't pray for shepherds. We need to pray for more of them. I won't have this on the screen, so turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and following. This passage is not about elders specifically, but it is about shepherding, and it is about leadership. It's probably a passage that many of us are familiar with. But here in Matthew chapter 9, beginning verse 35, Matthew writes, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." Serious work that Jesus is doing as he's going throughout Jewish villages. When he saw the crowds, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We referenced that last week as well. Jesus recognized in his day and time, in some ways, similar things that we see in our society, just a lack of good leadership and people, the general public, lacking a good, positive direction for their lives. And so Jesus says this to his disciples in verse 37. "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." What's Jesus saying here? Jesus, yes, he is God in the flesh, but he's still just one person walking the earth. And he's going about the villages and the cities, and he's teaching in the synagogues, and he's healing people, and he sees all of the chaos and the misdirection and all the sin and all the sadness going on in people's lives. And you know what Jesus concludes? We need more of us out here. And so he says to the disciples, here's what we need to do. We need to pray. We need to pray for more laborers. Because the harvest... there's more than enough work, but the laborers, there aren't enough. And I read this passage in connection with the church in the 21st century because one thing that greatly concerns me as we look into the future, and even in the present, you know, if you were to take a survey of churches of Christ in the United States, I don't have statistics, but I know through experience, the number of churches who don't have shepherds. That's not the way God has called for His church to be. That's not the Lord's design. I realize that there are qualifications set forth. But those qualifications are not impossibilities. And to see people, whether it's in the church or in society at large, being sheep without shepherding, we see the results and the consequences of that. And so first, we need to pray for more laborers. Secondly, we need to consider maybe ourselves. That's part of what this sermon's about. How do we help our shepherds? In what ways can we help current shepherds? And in what ways can we help the future of the church? And let me, for a moment, speak to parents. Parents of young ones, including myself, when we read the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, do we see those as characteristics that we want to instill in our children? As characteristics that we want them to aspire to be and to emulate in life. I realize it's a high standard. But when we set low standards, we're always going to meet those. Sometimes we need to set higher standards for ourselves and for future generations so that we have an abundance of men, an abundance of families who meet those qualifications, who live out that kind of character, so that they know how to rightly shepherd and steward God's church. We shouldn't start thinking about future generations of elders and shepherds in the future. We should think about those things now. We reap the fruit of the seeds we plant today. That's in the future. But we begin with the planting now. And that starts with even the youngest of hearts and souls. But it begins with prayer. But it doesn't stop with prayer. And that brings us to our final point, in that we ourselves, besides just praying for more of them, we see ourselves in positions of help and service. We give of ourselves. You know, sometimes we stop reading that thought because it's the end of Matthew chapter 9. But it's really interesting in Matthew what happens next. Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, "And Jesus called to him his 12 disciples." Now, these were the same people he just said, we need to be praying for more laborers. It starts with prayer, but then Jesus says, and by the way, those of you who've been praying for more laborers, you are going to be those laborers. He called to him his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. You keep reading Matthew chapter 10, what is Jesus doing right here? He is essentially appointing the apostles to go into the Jewish communities and do the very things he had just been doing at the end of Matthew chapter 9. He says, give yourself, because, listen, there's a ton of work, but we need more laborers. Pray for more laborers, but then see yourself as an answerer, an answer to that disparity, to that lack of labor. Not all of us in here, not all of our children, will one day be elders or the spouses or family members of elders. But I promise you this, we can all be laborers within the vineyard. We can all look and see that the harvest is plentiful and that that harvest needs more of us going outside of ourselves to serve them. Sometimes in serving the church, but in serving the world at large, in spreading the gospel, bringing more souls to Christ, seeing people in positions of weakness and need, and recognizing that's not for somebody else to do, that's what I can do. Because one of the things in my life that I've noticed within the church is far too often, shepherds, elders of the church, sometimes end up being relegated to doing tasks that have to be done, that need to be done, but others could be doing, but they just don't do them. And sometimes because of that, real shepherding gets overlooked. And I'm thankful to say that that's not usually the case here, but every church has that temptation of saying, oh, that's what we got the elders for. And the more we do the things that we have been called to do and fulfill the talents that God has given us, the more our shepherds can lead and oversee souls. Oversee and go to that sheep that's left the fold while the rest of us do the other things that we can be doing as well. And I would say that's one of the greatest ways that we can give ourselves. Our follow this week, as we wrap up this series, consider ways in which you can ease the load of shepherding from our shepherds. How can you serve and give yourself so that shepherds can shepherd? In some ways, it's a pretty simple question. But see yourself, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter where you find yourself in life, see yourself as one of those laborers of the harvest so that our shepherds can really shepherd. We are blessed here at Morristown Church of Christ. By the way, I haven't said this in this series, but I did say this to our elders when I said, I'm going to do this series about shepherding. And I said, one of the reasons why I'm doing this series right now is because we as a congregation, we have had a lot of positive experiences recently. We are at a good place, spiritually speaking. I don't want us to take that for granted. But I've done this series right now because of, you know, not every moment of life and not all throughout the year are things going so well. But somebody could maybe say, well, why is Blaine doing that series right now? I don't have any agenda. It's not to address any kind of issue. It's not to do anything but raise our awareness, to put on our radar the work of shepherding, and to put on our radar the future of the church, to keep that before us. Because the truth is, and they know this, and they won't be insulted when I say this, John Dean, Jim Dempster, Tom Montgomery, and David Wilbanks, they're not always going to be here. And neither is Blaine Kelly, by the way. And neither are you. But I hope until the Lord returns, there will always be a Morristown Church of Christ. And I hope wherever the church finds itself, that it doesn't just exist, but it blossoms. And that it doesn't just get by, but that it thrives. And the way for the church to grow and thrive, part of that picture, part of that formula, is good leadership. And we're going to need that forever and ever until the Lord returns. With that in mind, let's pray right now, please. Father, I come before you this morning. First of all, Father, thanking you for who you are. What you have done in sending your Son to this earth on our behalf. In living among sinful men, but doing so in such a way that He has been the perfect, the good shepherd. And He has brought us back to you because of His life, His death, and His resurrection. And so we praise you, Father, for that today, and we rejoice that we get to be a part of your flock. And Father, I thank you for your design and your plan for the church, for your ultimate wisdom, and for your recognition that that we continue to need shepherding in our lives. Help us, Father, to have hearts of humility, that we submit to leadership that leads us in your direction. And help us, Father, to look out among ourselves and even sometimes within ourselves to see that how we can support and encourage our shepherds in the work of the church here. Father, I thank you for John and Jim and Tom and David. I thank you for their wives, for their families. I thank you for the many sacrifices they have made over the years in giving themselves in service of you and your church and in serving our souls. I pray that you uphold them, that you strengthen them, that you give them wisdom, and I pray that you help them to continue to lead us in paths of righteousness and lead us in the steps of your Son, Jesus. We know that they, from time to time, have to make decisions. We pray that you give them wisdom and clarity of thought there, but especially help them, Father, to continue to see that we are in their care. And help us, Father, to speak well of them, to encourage them. And help us, Father, as we look to the future, to bring about future generations of good shepherds and shepherds' families. Help us as your people to lift up the standard of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 in all of our lives so that glory can be brought to you and so that good leadership may be manifest more than anything else through your church. We pray for good leadership throughout all of the world, in positions of government, in positions of business, in the home, in our schools. But Father, may we be the ultimate model of what good leadership looks like. Be with this church, Father, in the future. Help us to have an eye and a heart for the future. And we know, Father, that as we look to you, that you will bless us. But may we continue to follow in the steps of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. It's through him that we pray. Amen. As we close out this worship this morning, there might be somebody with us today that needs to give your life to the ultimate shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who came to this earth to lead all of us as sheep back home to the Father. In many ways, the things that we've spoken about in this series, we've spoken about human beings. But they are people in the service of their Lord and Savior and His church, and they are people who are modeling Him as the perfect and good shepherd and the overseer of our souls. If you need to come to Jesus Christ this morning, we hope that you make that decision to be a part of the Lord's family. To put him on in baptism, to have your sins washed away, and to be raised up to have a new life, a new walk, and a new hope, ultimately following Jesus as your shepherd. For those of us who are Christians, let us be encouragers of each other, not just our shepherds, but of all of us. And this morning, you might need the prayers of your church family and our encouragement. At this time, as this invitation is sung, our elders are here to receive you on one of the front pews, or maybe you need to meet privately with them in the library after this worship. But whatever your need is, we encourage you to come forward while we stand and sing.